Well, we've been told that as many as 1 in 5 churches may not survive the pandemic. My desire, though, is that we not talk about surviving, but that we talk about thriving. We want to thrive, do we not? Under the lordship of Jesus Christ, under the headship of the one who gave his life that we might know the Lord and have salvation in him. That's why I've had sermons on moving ahead. We've reflected on moving ahead in missions and outreach, on moving ahead in praise and worship, on moving ahead in prayer and supplication. And this morning I want to continue in this regard by talking about moving ahead in discernment and decision making. Moving ahead in discernment and decision making. Now, the first thing I want us to notice, and I really want to highlight here, as we look into the scriptures, is that we are to be discerning. Have you thought about that? You and I are to be discerning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." Test all things, hold fast what is good. Now, the MSG, in its contemporary idiom, says, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the scripture says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, why is it that you and I are to check things out? Why is it that we are to test things? Why are we to be discerning? We're to do so because not everything around us is on the up and up. Not everything around us is perhaps what it looks like on the surface. Some things may look good on the surface, but when you check things out more carefully, you discover that which, if it hadn't already, should give you a pause, or perhaps should make you concerned, or perhaps should make you back away from whatever that is. Now, to illustrate, let me use an example of something that was very much in the news, very much of our contemporary society this year, and has generated a lot of support from many quarters, but really is not something that we should endorse. Now, please listen carefully, because on the surface, you might say that Bob's gone bonkers, but let's look underneath the surface. I'm talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, on the surface, it looks like a cause that we should all embrace. After all, do we not believe, I hope so, that racism is sin? We believe that partiality is sinful. We believe that making a distinction based upon the color of one's skin is sinful. So why wouldn't we stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement? Well, it has to do with what the movement espouses. We affirm the phrase, do we not? Black Lives Matter. I hope so. We need to affirm that, even as we affirm that brown lives matter and white lives matter and what color did you say? Yellow lives matter? Whatever. All lives matter. But the Black Lives Matter movement has an agenda. Did you realize? Has an agenda and has an ideology that espouses some things that are not consistent with biblical truth. So our good, I wanted to say friend, but he's a leader in contemporary Christendom and happens to be currently the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Albert Mohler. He did his June 18, 2020, it's called the briefing. I wanted to say my briefing, but it's the briefing on this movement. And by the way, I would be happy to forward a link to you if you would like to either listen to the entire presentation or you would like to read the entire presentation, because I'm just going to be sharing a few snippets for illustrative purposes this morning. Or I can get you a hard copy. I'd be happy to do that. So what do we discover about the Black Lives Matter movement when we check things out? Well, we discover a movement that says, and I'm quoting here, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages." And they continue to say, "We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking." So that's one thing. And also we discover that the movement makes certain demands. And here's a quote from that, Mohler's briefing. Here's what they're asking for: the retroactive decriminalization, immediate release, and record expungement of all drug-related offenses and prostitution, and reparations for the devastating impact on the war on drugs and criminalization of prostitution. That's part of the demand or the agenda. So Albert Mohler in his exposé points out that the movement's rejection of capitalism may stand to reason, given that two of its founders actually identified as Marxists. And he also points out that two of the three founders self-identified as queer. And so it should not surprise us then the kind of agenda or the kind of things that are espoused there. So instead of jumping on the latest bandwagon, we're called to test all things. We're to test the spirits to see whether whatever it is of God, and we're to check things out. Why? Why does the scripture call us to do this? According to 1 John 4:1, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And sometimes things appear to be something that we really would align ourselves with, when in actuality that's not the case. How do we know what's up when there are so many voices that are clamoring for our attention, and then there are so many people in key places that might affirm or espouse or endorse or use a particular hashtag or you name it these days? How do we know what to believe or what to discard? Well, for one thing, we're to see how things stack up against the scriptures. Now, I'm turning to Acts chapter 17, where we read about folks at Berea who did this very thing. Not the Berea in northern Ohio, close to the Ohio Turnpike, but Berea, nevertheless. Here's what it says in verses 10 and 11. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, and these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so." So here's a group of people that were not gullible. In other words, they didn't just immediately swallow everything hook, line, and sinker, but they were discerning in that they checked things out. And that they checked things out how? They checked things out by comparing to what the scriptures had to say and to see whether it aligned or it fit with that. They compared what was said in the scripture. And we're reminded this morning that the Bible does need to be our guide for faith and practice. The Bible says this of itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God might be, complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's all that begs the question: are you and I discerning? Are we checking things out before jumping on board with something? Are we allowing the Scripture to be our guide in these matters? So we're to be discerning. Now, the second thing actually goes right along with that, but in our discernment, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion? He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. That's in John 15:13. So after his death and resurrection, Jesus ascended back to heaven, and at Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon God's people. And in our day, in our day, the exciting thing is that when one trusts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit then takes up residence within the life of that individual. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be guided by the Spirit. But what does that look like, practically speaking? What does it mean to have the Spirit guide us in our discernment and decision making? There's a fascinating account recorded for us in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Let me share verses 6 to 10 with you, and then want to make a few comments about this. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone, so here we have Paul and Silas and Timothy, and it says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Seems a little strange at first glance, doesn't it? Verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So what's up? Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, if we are serious about discernment, then we need to realize that sometimes the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, says no to a particular course of action. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says no to a particular course of action. Now, let me share this for illustrative purposes. It was 1991, and some of us living in Coshocton County were wondering, I wonder if perhaps we should start a Mennonite church in Coshocton. So I ended up doing a demographic study. In other words, I looked at all the, I knew what the population was of the community, but I looked at all the churches in the city and got sort of an average. I have had a pretty good feel what the average attendance was in these churches and so on. And came out to realize that about 33% of the people in Coshocton attended a church service on an average Sunday. That's interesting. What about the other two-thirds? So there were actually three couples. There was Paul and Lois King, who were a retired ministry couple that were living in the county at that point in time. There was Fred and Carolyn Augsburger, who were living in the county at the time and were attending our church at Gray Ridge. And Diane and I. And so I said, well, why don't we... So we started talking and praying about this. And you know, pray about some of the questions that had come to mind. Is there a need for another church? And speaking of needs, what really are some of the needs in that community in Coshocton County or in the city of Coshocton? And is the thought of church planting, is it a vision of God? Or is it just some something that, you know, some person is coming up with. We invited broader prayer support, and we began to do a midweek sort of a Bible study service kind of thing. We used space at on the campus of the Coshocton County Joint Vocational School. Was that Thursday nights, Diane? I think it was Thursday nights that we did that. For quite a few weeks. It was probably about 3 months. And there were some encouraging things. We had heard of a family that was moving from Kelowna, Iowa. They were going to get involved with MMS Aviation there in Coshocton. There was a Dr. Jerry and his wife, a medical doctor from the county, had interest. And there was a couple from the Walnut Creek Church that was showing interest in something that would be outreach-oriented, you know. So we began, like I said, meeting with others on Thursday evenings as a part of a discernment process, asking that God would reveal his will. Now, after some time into that, I would say about 3 months into that, the three ministry couples in particular, we began sharing what we were sensing. What was God saying? Okay, that's discernment. The sense was that we were not to continue that pursuit. And it was coming from all three of us couples. That was not. There was some redirecting going on in the lives of some of the people and so on and so forth. But in the scripture we're looking at in Acts 16, the guys were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, it says, did not permit them. They didn't have a green light. They weren't feeling at peace about it. They, you know. And if we're serious about discernment and decision-making, then we need to realize that sometimes the answer is no to whatever it is that we're contemplating, to whatever it is that we're thinking or tossing around. Sometimes the Spirit will forbid us to do something that on the surface may seem good and right and appropriate and even may seem to be a noble cause or noble course of action at the moment. On the other hand, there are times when the Spirit says yes to a particular course of action. So in the scripture that we're looking at, God's desire was revealed at night. Did you notice that again? Verses 9 and 10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. The man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after that experience, after seeing that vision, it says, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, would you agree that the Lord had a plan all along? He did. But right at first it wasn't clear what it was. And so it is with you and I. The Lord has a plan, but discernment involves a process. It usually involves some time to discern these kind of things. It involves a discovery of God's will. And in the case of the Apostle Paul, it meant respecting the no, don't go there. So he was available for the yes. Do go there, the place of God's choosing. Now, as a church, in recent years, we went through three significant times of discernment as a leadership team and then as a congregation. There was the discernment process, which led us to withdraw from MCUSA. Then there was the discernment process which led us to affiliate with LMC, Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And then more recently, there was the discernment process which led us to a new model for leadership here at the church, culminating, or whether you see it culminating or beginning last Sunday with the licensing of Adam. So, anyway, when we go through a time of discernment and make a decision, we should be able to say what was said in Acts 15, verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Remember, we're talking about the leading, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So we're to be discerning. In our discernment, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that leads to a third point. In our discernment, we need to seek. We need to actually be seeking the mind of the Lord, not just to be sitting back and seeing what kind of cards may be there for the draw. Now, over the past 25 years, this church has had some incredible ministries and times of outreach. And I hope you will allow me to do just a little reflecting this morning for illustrative purposes here. There is a point to this. I remember, for example, when we had a prayer station at Rogers Flea Market. And I remember one time in particular when one week when we were there that we discovered that we were situated with our gospel agenda right next to someone that was peddling X-rated double X, what were they? Triple X. All right, get my X's right. Kind of stuff. And I remember one time, too, when a woman came into the prayer station asking for prayer because she had a family member that was on the most wanted list. Do you think for a moment that God hadn't placed us there at that point in time? For a number of years, we had given some leadership to what had become an annual event here. We called it a youth fest. Had it at the old South Range High School auditorium in collaboration with other churches in the area. And we had speakers and bands and trained counselors and all this and that. But the night that those of us who were there just felt so odd, nothing of our doing, but when about 75 people responded to the altar call, and what in the world were we going to do? We were planning to do one-on-one kind of follow-up and counseling, but we scrambled and we did small group kind of counseling back in the band room. Is that where it was? Yeah. Then we had an opportunity. We felt led, I believe, led by the Spirit, to get a gospel witness into every home in our community. How could we do that? We drive past these houses all the time, and who are these people, and what are they involved in, and what are their needs? And then it came to us, and some of you helped pay for it, some of you helped put together the bags that set a free gift for you, and different ones of you helped to deliver. We hand-delivered. Yeah, in some cases it was a little challenging with dogs and whatnot on the premises. But we hand-delivered these bags to every household in the North Lima Zip 44452 that had a Jesus video, a microwave popcorn, a cover letter that I had written, and a brochure from the church. Then for a number of years, there were short-term mission trips that took people from the church to places like Guatemala. Stanley, I'm never going to forget that time. You were one of those initial team members, and then you were on the verge of calling me to say, I'm out of the game, I can't go, I don't have the resources, and whew, the money appeared just like that for you. And you went along. So people from here went to places like Guatemala. Bill McCusker ended up going to Cuba. We went to Venezuela, Chile, Brazil, Colombia, Trinidad and Tobago, and other places. I don't have a complete list here. And many of the places involved campaigns of door-to-door sharing of one's testimony. And when there was an openness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as then have evening services. We had gospel concerts over the years. Right here, nationally traveled artists and groups. I can't ask them. I don't think they're here today. I think that Damaris Carbaugh may have been the service where Gary and Linda Smith first found their way into our fellowship here. But the thing that blesses me, and most of the time we never hear back, but we did hear of a marriage that was healed from a couple that was at a concert here. Would you say that God has been at work? The monthly breakfast began to flourish, bringing people to our building for food and fellowship, but not only that, it enabled us to add ministries to our monthly support. And I remember when we added Friendship International. I remember when we added the Gospel Echoes Prison Ministry, MMS Aviation, Wycliffe, Peace Church. I also remember the Sunday when proposals were being made at our annual business meeting. And I might have gulped just a little bit at the time because the proposal was made to add 3 ministries at $100 each to our church budget. And then we added and we kept it on ever since then. What were they? The Gideons, our local food pantry, the South Orange Council of Church and Community, and the Rescue Mission of the Mahoning Valley. We had the opportunity to bless new pastors as we prayed for and sent out the Rocky Carr family and the Randy Carr family, and they are still engaged in fruitful ministry at Beaver Dam Church and at the Pleasant View Church. For a number of years, we had a thriving ministry at area motels. I call it a thriving outreach. It wasn't unusual for people that we made connections with to be with us for a Sunday service. And I remember the time. And by the way, hey, I'm glad you're here. Steve and Kenneth, yay. That's where we met you, right? Originally. As well, Bob isn't here today. So, but anyway, Bob Davis. Remember the time when we had made arrangements to use a motel room, and we tried to get the invitation out to all that were staying there at the time to come and join us for pizza, and then we showed a Billy Graham movie that had a clear presentation of the gospel in it. I'm trying to remember. I would have asked him if he'd been here this. I can't remember. Does anybody remember? Was Bob Davis there that evening? Anyway, it doesn't matter. What's the point? The point is that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He has done mighty things. He has opened doors. He was at work. To God be the glory. But the point also is that we can't live in the past. It's a new day. It's a new time. Things have changed. And in the future, we need to be on target with His agenda. What does that entail? I don't know. But we need to be looking to Him. I was reminded of the word in Jeremiah's day, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And James gave us a word which I find I need to do constantly, again and again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1, verse 5. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What does God have in store for us down the road? How will he choose to work in and through us in the coming years? And what is it that we should be embracing as a congregation? We can't do everything. So what is it that God wants us to be about in these coming days? Let's be asking the Lord to guide our feet, to establish our steps, to help us to be wise and make the right kind of decisions so that we can experience his continued blessing and the continued outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. Let's pray, and then, hey, we're going to sing that really great song of response, Guide My Feet. Lord, that's exactly what we need. We need you to guide our feet. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to direct our steps as a congregation, as we move ahead. May we do so under your authority. May you stir things up and bring things into being that we have not yet imagined. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So do it, Lord, and may you receive the glory because of it, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.